It's Easter Sunday, and pastors still get worked up about this 2,000 years later, like we had something to do with it. But the truth is, on this day, we get to preach that good news, and we get to live in the fact that it's already happened. We just get to tell the story again, and it is such a great story to tell. The story is told out of the book of Matthew today, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings!' And they came to him and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, when I was a pastor in Conyers, Georgia, there was only one coffee shop within a four-mile radius of the church. Now compare that to Old First Presbyterian Church, where there are six coffee shops and two tea shops within three blocks. So you can imagine that I got to know that coffee shop owner quite well. I learned that he had come from corporate America. I learned that he had come from a foreign land like I did. I came from California, and he came from the Middle East. He told me to call him Moose. And I thought, oh, that doesn't sound like a real name. And I remember when I was in seminary, many times people from other lands would tell us a name they thought we could pronounce because we're not so bright. So I said, "What name would your mother call you?" And he said, "Well, she called me Mustafa." And I said, "Well, why can't I call you that?" And he said, "Well, most people end up calling me Mufasa from The Lion King, so I just say Moose." Well, I learned to say Mustafa. And then he began to tell me more about himself. He told me that he was a Muslim, and he told me about his life. And I confessed that I was a pastor of a church, and it didn't seem to concern him much. He didn't really know what that was. He was the kind of man that would tell me when my tag was showing, or he'd call me and say, "You've left your keys here." He was a good man. And he would also ask me questions about the Christian church that polite people would not ask. He'd say things like, "Okay, at Christmas, what is this all about, this Santa? I thought it was your holy day." And I'd have to tell him about that. And when small African-American churches were burned in our area, and he found out it was done by other Christians, he said, "I thought this was the land of tolerance and freedom. Why are people doing this to each other?" And when we got around to Easter, I wasn't surprised that he asked me, "So what about the eggs and the chicks and the chocolate?" And then he said, "What does this Easter mean anyway?" And I said, well, we believe that Jesus died and was resurrected and raised from the dead. And I stumbled over their other churchy words and set phrases, and I could see he was just kind of glossing over. And then I tried again. I said, Easter means for us that death does not have the last word, that God rules, that goodness is stronger than evil. It's a day of celebration, of new beginnings, of new life. For us, it's a mystery that he's risen. And that's the day we celebrate. And to that, he said, okay. I've thought about that conversation, and I wish I could have said, why don't you come and see what it's like on Easter? Come and see. You can sit in the back pew and just sneak out. Come and see what we do. For that's what the two Marys do on that morning some 2,000 years ago. They came to see the tomb. They had already seen so much that week. Their beloved teacher was betrayed and arrested and humiliated and crucified. They saw him take his last breath. They heard that cry of anguish. They saw him literally die. They saw his body being taken off the cross and wrapped in that clean piece of linen and laid into a new tomb. They saw that large rock rolled against the entrance of the tomb. And they sat much longer after everyone had gone and just looked at that stone. Yet they came back to that tomb after the Sabbath to see. They came because they believed the promises that he would come back. Stanley Hauerwas pointed out that they don't come filled with grief. They don't come with oils and spices to anoint a dead body, to care for the dead. No, they come with their hands free. They come to see. They come to see with hope and belief and longing that he's not dead. They come not worrying about who's going to roll away that massive stone. They just came to see. And it's amazing hope on their parts. And when they get there in that gloomy pre-dawn, the earth begins to shake under their feet, and they see this angel of the Lord coming down. They can't really describe it. They say the angel looks like lightning, and his clothing is like fresh, clean, blazing white snow. And that angel rolls away the stone and sits on top of that stone and invites them to come and see, to look in that tomb, to see he is not there. Come and see. I wonder if in today's world we have lost some of our own ability to see the witness to the resurrection all around us. Have we lost the ability to see hope in the world? My friend Kim Richter wondered if even after all these centuries of hearing the story, of being his disciples, that we have trouble seeing him, worshiping him in awe, or believing that the promise of the resurrection is real. Have our eyes grown accustomed instead to the continuous media feed of death and darkness that we see? Has that become our norm? Are we blinded by another car bombing in Afghanistan? Are we blinded by the news of a funeral in Syria that leads to 20 more deaths? Are we blinded by just one more death in Oakland by random gunfire? It was a blind person who pointed out eloquently that we who have eyes to see so often don't. Helen Keller, who lived all of her life except 19 months without sight. She lived a life in darkness and in deafness. She wrote an article in 1933 for the Atlantic Monthly where she was asked to write 3 days to see and describe what she would see and long to see if she had a reprieve from her blindness for 3 days. She wrote in aching detail what it would be like to see the smooth skin of a silver birch or to see the rough skin and bark of a pine tree. She imagined what it would be like to see the face of her beloved teacher, Annie Sullivan, who she had only touched before. She knew that she would see more deeply than touch allowed. And Keller wrote, "It is a great pity that in the world of light, that the gift of sight is used as only a mere convenience rather than a means of adding fullness to life." Keller saw more than most of us see in our lives. She was strengthened in her faith with great joy, and she once remarked, "Active faith knows no fear. It is a safeguard to me against cynicism and despair." Those two Marys not only saw the empty tomb, but they heard the words, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." Those words had been said before when God did amazing things. "Do not fear" was said to Mary when she was told she would conceive the Savior. "Do not fear" was told to those shepherds in the field when they said the Savior had been born and they got to go and see. "Do not fear" means you don't have fear at all. It means the fear does not overwhelm you. "Do not be afraid" means grasping that you don't have to understand everything to have hope, to have belief. To be not afraid means you're willing to move with God even when it seems to be leading you in crazy ways. "Do not be afraid" seems to be trusting that God is in control and not us. And then the angel says, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." And did you notice those women didn't act afraid? They don't really act fearful. They moved quickly with a sense of urgency to tell the others. They had a job to do. They were to share. So they ran and told what they had seen. Now the guards heard and observed the same things, and they acted afraid. They saw the angel of God, and they shook like an earthquake in their bodies, and then they stopped like a dead man. Their fear stopped them stone cold. It totally incapacitated them. They were breathing, but they weren't really living. The woman had some fear, but that fear was mixed with great joy. They moved forward, longing to see this risen Christ. When fear and joy are mixed together, it's kind of like awe rather than terror. That mixture comes from being in the presence of God, of being a part of God's plan, of receiving God's love and forgiveness. It comes from seeing God working in the world. It's that mixture and joy and fear that we had at a memorial service just last week in the sanctuary, when we grieved over the loss of a beloved member and trusted in the same sense that she was sitting at a table with God again in that true holy communion. Joy and fear is mixed together like when we say yes at a marriage and said, "I'm going to be with this person all my life." There's joy and fear in that. There's joy and fear in the college student I know who I talked to his mama yesterday, and he's narrowed it down to 2 colleges. And by Monday, he has to tell them which one. Joy and fear. And his mother wisely said, "Ben, either decision will be fine. God will be with you in both places. And by Monday, he will make that that choice, and God will be with him. God will be with us in joy, and God will be with us in fear. Those two women, they got caught by the joy of knowing that death did not hold Christ, that God is stronger than death, that life is greater and fuller than they could understand. It's joy mixed in with the fear that got them moving, that they went out and saw. And I love it that while they're moving down the road, that's when they encounter Christ. And he says in the best and shortest Easter sermon ever, "Greetings, be not afraid. Go and tell the brethren to go to Galilee and they will see me." Greetings, be not afraid. Go and tell and see. And they did. From those two women, it went to the disciples, and it has been spread for 2,000 years. We come here this morning to see in a new way. We come to see in hope. We come to see that we don't have to understand everything to follow in the ways of Jesus. We come to see that God's love is stronger and a match for any emptiness that we may offer, that we may face. We come to hear that the resurrection loosens the grip of death in this world and does not have a lasting hold on us. So death does not determine our living. We live as people of the resurrection. We come to see with new eyes that do not become dulled and blinded by the hard parts in the world. We learn to see little witnesses of the resurrection all around us. It's like yesterday when I'm walking down the street worrying about the sermon, and the man from Welcome Ministry comes up and says, "Happy Easter," and reminds me it's already been done. Or we see those little witnesses when we go past the Welcome Garden on the corner of Goff. Have you seen that? It's in the place where St. Paul's Lutheran Church used to be. It was burned down, and for years there's been an empty lot in there, a scar on the neighborhood, and 2 years ago they started a garden. And things are growing, and it's thriving, and people are being fed from that food. Out of death came new life. We come here to learn to see, to get courage, to follow Christ out into the world. Because when we move, when we offer forgiveness, when we say we're sorry, in every little act of compassion, of new life, we witness the resurrection. Easter is about affirming hope, of affirming new life, even when it feels we cannot go on our own, by ourselves, others walk with us, to see that God still loves us, that God uses us, that light overcomes the darkness. As Annie Lamott said, life happens, death happens, and then new life happens. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Alleluia. May we see with eyes of hope. Amen.